with helium from the pressurized tanks. With each balloon, another rope had been tied to the plastic pallet to keep the craft from soaring away, and the companions ceased adding balloons only when the overhead net was completely filled, the anchor ropes creaking from the strain of containing the lighter-than-air vehicle.
These will help.
Christie tied a lumpy bag to the pallet. Trousers from the dead paratroopers were tied off to make crude sacks, and then filled with broken pieces of electronic equipment. The counterweight would give them a hair more control over the flying craft. Not much, but every little bit helped. But the balloons didn't descend in the slightest until six more heavy bags were lashed into place.
She's got more than enough lift. We'll ride like kings on the wind.
Till crash land.
Jack stood guard over their backpacks. They'd all removed them to work faster, but wisely didn't toss them into the rope basket until ready to launch. If a rope broke and the pack soared away with all the food and ammo, they'd be as good as chilled.
She needs a name. Huh. Did Hercules have a kid?
Indeed he did. Three sons. But I cannot recall any of their names.
They'll need a name, long as it works. Now remember to use the washroom before we go, and throw away anything not needed. Weight is at a premium here, people.
Never thought we'd leave the island this way.
JB placed a cigar in his mouth. The pilot had been carrying a pocket humidor of the best quality, and two of the cigars inside were still smokable. The armorer was trying hard to quit, but sometimes the urge simply couldn't be denied. Reaching in a pocket, he pulled out a butane lighter.
Ah, come to Papa.
Are you mad, John Barrymore? Hydrogen is extremely flammable. One spark and we will all be blown to the heights of Mount Olympus.
Not filled with hydrogen, Doc. Helium.
Helium? The word sounds familiar, but I fear its meaning eludes me.
Refilling the canteens from a lotus flower that bled water, Mildred gave a start and stared at the man askance, then slowly recalled that the element was discovered around 1870 by Sir Somebody or Other.
Trust me. We're completely safe. Helium's a noble gas, totally inert.
Really, madam? In truth, I had been deeply worried about an aerial conflagration. The Army of the Potomac constantly had their observation balloons destroyed by flaming arrows from Lee's rebels.
Can't happen here.
How delightful to know.
We're gonna fly.
Dean swatted a skeeter and lifted his head to look at the darkening sky. The fiery storm clouds weren't bad, lots of distant thunder, but very little sheet lightning. Plus, there was no smell of rotten eggs, so the chances of acid rain were small.
I say we wait another hour until night. We disappear in the darkness. Then Mitchum and Glassman can search the nuke-shitting jungle for us till they chill as wrinklies.
Sounds good.
Jack walked carefully up the ramp into the plane. The pre-dark bandage on his ankle eased most of the pain. Running was out of the question, but at least he could walk again without gritting his teeth.
Maybe we should leave now. The wind's right. With any luck, it'll carry us straight to the next island.
Maybe.
How about the Jules Verne? Or better yet, the Papillon. That's a good name. She's not a war wag, after all, just an escape pod.
The Papillon? If I recall my French correctly, why should we christen it the Butterfly?
Well, see...
Immediately, the companions pulled blasters at the sound of the dog and waited, listening hard. His boots softly tangling on the metal deck, Jack appeared at the hatchway, his belt partially undone, both knife and magnum at the ready.
Look at the dogs, sir. They must be in the trees.
Shut up, you damn fool. Now they know we're here. Ah, fuck it. Open fire!
A fusillade of blasters cut loose. The big 75 caliber mini-balls from the flintlocks peppering the tree branches and ripping the flowers apart. A stray shot punctured one of the airship's lower balloons.
Stop firing! Glassman wants them alive!
From the commotion below, the companions knew that armed Sekhmen were climbing the trees.
Shit!
Fast and silent, Mildred grabbed a backpack and heaved it into the rope basket. Jack joined the effort, and when the airship was loaded, he awkwardly climbed in. Standing on the wing of the great plane, Ryan felt hot blood pumping through his veins and fought to control his terrible temper. He hated to run from a fight, but if the balloons got damaged, they'd be trapped. Getting into the basket, he accepted the handful of canteen straps from Doc, who climbed in, closely followed by JB and Christie. Holding his knife to an anchor line, Brian whistled softly. But his son ran to the edge of a wing and drew the very pistol. Taking a balanced stance, Dean fired the magnesium charge straight down. The player hissed away, and seconds later there came a blinding flash of light. Dean fired twice more, changing the angle of the shots. Bitter smoke rose into the trees. He had to have hit a Hummer. Turning, the boy started for the balloon, when a Sekhmen appeared amid the gently waving leaves of a nearby banyan tree. Blaster in hand, the soldier paused for a moment, startled at the sight of the bizarre floating craft.
What the...
Ryan had aced the man with a Sig Sauer blaster. The lifeless corpse released the branch and plummeted into the foliage below.
Black dust! Jimbo! All right, screw Glassman! Let's ace the fuckers!
Suddenly, a .50 caliber burst into life, the bottom of the plane rattling with the incoming round, the skeletons inside shaking apart as if dancing. Holes were punched through the wing, the flowers exploding into tiny sprays of juice and petals. Dean remained motionless until the barrage stopped. Then he raced to the airship. He barely got a leg over the ropes when another Sekhmen swung into view on a vine and landed on the plane's wing.
Come here, you little shit.
Jack jerked his arm forward, and the invader staggered backward, blood gushing around the knife jutting out of his throat. As the man dragged the flintlock pistol from his belt, Ryan fired his Sig Sauer once more. The 9mm slug spun the man off the wing. More rounds peppered the hull of the craft, and another balloon was punctured as the companions rapidly cut through the anchor lines. Another face appeared in the leaves, and Doc had no choice but to trigger the Lamah. The massive blaster thundered flame at the invader, the soft lead mini-ball blowing away half his face. But even as the mutilated corpse fell, two more men swung out of the trees holding onto vines. Both landed on the wing and dropped flat, opening fire with their flintlock pistols. One man fired at the Hercules, while the other turned his attention to the waving balloon and basket. A mini-ball hummed past Ryan as he returned fire with the barking HEK, but the smoky discharge from the black powder weapons effectively masked the prone invader's position. From the jungle below, the crackling of the flames steadily became louder, and it was soon apparent that the trees were on fire. Extending his arm as far as he could reach, Ryan managed to slash another rope. The others would have to be cut by whomever was nearest. The companions were packed like sardines in the little basket, and it was difficult to move.
Come on, come on.
Their rifles spent, the Sekhmen pulled pistols and fired again. While they hastily reloaded, the companions shot blindly into the smoke, eliminating both. But with the wing directly beneath them, they were unable to shoot at the Sekhmen until they peeked into view from the trees. Sniper fire erupted from the shadows, but most of it was concentrated on the Hercules. The darkness worked both ways, and it was obvious that the other Bill soldiers thought the companions were hidden in the plane. Tongues of flame lanced from the treetops, the mini-balls peppering the hull of the huge aircraft and punching straight through, the stressed aluminum no match for the heavy wads of rolled lead. Unexpectedly, an explosion shook the metallic bird.
By the three Kennedys! That was a helium tank. The gas may be inert, but those pressurized tanks burst apart like a bomb when hit.
How many left?
The Sekhmen were suddenly starting to fire at the people in the rope basket. A mini-ball hummed by so close to JB, he felt the heat of the lead.
Shit!
Too damned many. If a chain reaction starts with the helium tanks damaging each other, the shrapnel will tear the cool Herc apart and us along with it.
Don't worry about it, Mildred.
Dean slashed through the last anchor rope with his bowie knife. Instantly, the balloon began to drift leisurely across the wing as it followed the gentle evening breeze.
What a beautiful, beautiful balloon.
Hold on there, Doc.
That same breeze was heading them, straight for the Sekhmen in the trees.
Too heavy.
Jack started to saw at the tough plastic ropes holding the weighted bags. The loss of the two weather balloons may have grounded the airship before its maiden flight. The first bag dropped away, and nothing happened. More Sekhmen appeared in the foliage, firing their hand cannons in a cacophony of blasts, a stray round nicking one of the plastic ropes holding the overhead netting in place. Swinging up his Uzi, JB cut loose with the sub-gun and emptied nearly a full clip into the trees. Wounded Sekhmen slumped over the branches, the dead falling away like overripe fruit. Screams filled the night. Black smoke was pouring from the ground fire, and flintlocks threw hot lead everywhere. Holstering her piece, Christy went to slash the next weighted bag, but it snapped before her blade could touch the plastic rope. Instantly, the balloon and its crew bobbed straight into the air, their velocity increasing with every second.
Cool!
As the strange craft cleared the